This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh my gosh, I miss Star Wars. It's one of those times I just said that to my husband last week. Man, it feels like forever since we've watched Star Wars because the weekends are so different now. We try to spend our Saturdays being outside because the weather's really nice this time of the year in the Northeast. But since he's going away this weekend, I have some big plans to binge watch some of my favorite shows. And maybe, just maybe, I will fall into a Star Wars coma. No. I have too much to do. I have some really big plans. I keep telling him, in all sincerity, I will miss you, but I think I'll be okay. And he knows this, so I'm not saying anything he doesn't know. It was a drastic change to go from living by myself away from family. So my closest family is at least a 4-hour drive away. I've been in the New York City area now for nearly 12 years. Before that, I was in Connecticut. So again, we're talking about an even longer drive to my brother's house. And it's been that isolated, mostly because of career, for my adult life. And so when we got married and he moved into my house, and now it's our house, and we took 5 months getting it set up, that was stressful. I was naive. I'll readily admit, I was naive about what it would be like to go from living by myself and having time to myself whenever I wanted. I could call my friends, I could call my mom, I could binge watch a show, to having another human in the house 98% of the time. Because he works from home. Thankfully, his job in Texas allowed him to work from home so he could move to New Jersey. Now, in no way am I saying that I want to go back to what I had. I do not. Being married is a huge blessing, even with all the challenges. But I, again, will admit I was readily very naive about the fact that it would be such an abrupt change and a really difficult transition for me. I can't speak for him. It was for me. And he knows this. And one of the toughest things people ask me, what's the hardest thing about being married or the hardest thing about getting married? And honestly, the toughest thing is, when do I call my mom? Because we're together most of the time. When he's working, I'm sleeping. But then when I wake up, he's there. And so I keep teasing him and saying to him, oh, whatever will I do this weekend while you're gone? I can't imagine. How will I survive? But I'm really looking forward to just to couple of days to sit on my rear end and binge watch my shows, but also to get a few things done around the house. Maybe have dinner with a friend that I don't see very often anymore. Couple of girlfriend phone calls lined up. Oh, it's going to be party with the dog as well, of course, because she's staying with me. She's going to be wondering where he is the whole time. And did you desert me and leave me here? No. It'll be fine. It'll be me in the zoo like it used to be, but it'll be just long enough for me to miss him. And then he'll come back, so it'll be good. I try to remind people all the time about the NFL, but also about humans. We can't miss you if you never go away. It's okay. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, I hope you enjoyed the conversation with former Panthers and Commanders head coach Ron Rivera, who's getting set for another Westwood One game in L.A., which is how we were able to grab him on Thursday night. That kicks off week 8 in the NFL. Now, I haven't done a deep dive on the week 8 schedule. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes I don't look at the upcoming schedule until right before we get on the air Thursday night. I know what Thursday night game we have sometimes before it kicks off. But most part, I'm just a day-to-day girl when it comes to football season. But we've got some real good matchups this weekend. Matchups that I think will underscore even more this point in the season. We're nearly at the midway point. But this point in the season, the best teams start to separate themselves. They've started to play more consistently. Now, injuries do play a role in that, but they play more consistently. they have fewer of those brain farts, if you will, fewer of those letdowns where guys aren't engaged, where they're not disciplined. But also, these are good measuring sticks for teams that are running out of time to get their arses in the game. Dallas at San Francisco. Both these teams are in dire need of a win. Producer Pete, we've got the Cowboys and the Niners coming up on this Sunday night. I was looking at the numbers, and I'll go and I'll get the exact, but Chiefs, Niners, that game wasn't... It started out with an interception by both quarterbacks. There was a failed fake punt by the Kansas City Chiefs. If I remember correctly, they went a good like 3-4 series before there was ever a score or a touchdown, I should say. And so it was a bit of a slow starter. And yet the Chiefs-Niners viewership, it was through the roof. I'm going again, finding just so I can make sure I have the right numbers.
First touchdown was in the second quarter.
Yeah. So are you ready for this? The Fox telecast, and this did have Kevin Burkhart and Tom Brady, of Niners and Chiefs, America's Game of the Week, the most watched telecast of any network, number one this year, more than 27 million viewers for a game that did not feature a touchdown until the second quarter. How about that?
Name recognition.
Yeah, and the draw of having a possible, I mean, I don't love the Super Bowl rematch idea, but a possible different outcome between the Chiefs and the Niners, not to mention two very passionate fan bases, but mostly what you're talking about is Patrick Mahomes and the Niners and the fact that they keep coming up empty against Kansas City. So yeah, 27 million viewers. That was the average audience for Chiefs and Niners. Most watched telecast on any network last week. And the game was up 11% over a year ago. Same window, week 7. That one was, I don't even remember what that one was. They didn't tell me. They didn't tell me in the story what that one was. But it was the, right now, it's just kind of the indicator of how popular these games are. Still on broadcast TV, although we're seeing the ratings also go up drastically on streaming games as well. But for the season, Fox Sports is up 14% over a year ago. So we're not even to the midway point, and the games on Fox, the nationally televised games on Fox, are getting 14% more eyeballs than they were a year ago. That is drastic, especially if you consider, Pete, we're in a league right now where passing numbers are down. Scoring is down. It's more about running the ball. It's a, I would say, almost a step back toward what we had, say, 20 years ago in the NFL.
Could it also be Brady?
You think that people tune in, more people tune in because Tom Brady's on the broadcast.
I think, I'm not saying that 14% isn't all
it's
Brady.
It's all Brady.
It's not all Brady. It would be part of it.
I could see that. I could see more people wanting to hear Tom Brady. He's obviously very popular, even for the people who for years would say they hated him. It's more sports hate, which is just jealousy. He's doing a really good job. I think he combines his insight, his wisdom, his experience, certainly his ability to spot anything and everything on the field instantly, but also he does have a more conversational way of sharing it. Now, it's not as enthusiastic as Tony Romo. It's a different style completely, but you do hear him get excited now and then. I mean, he'll raise his voice. He'll get excited about what he sees.
And not just Brady. I think the combination of Burkhart and Brady, I think, is very different than Buck and Aikman were. And you're probably getting the people that didn't like Buck and Aikman coming back and watching the games more than maybe listen or turning the sound down or listening to them.
Interesting. Now, see, I'll have to take your word for it because I'm not a good gauge of that. I barely notice, unless I'm specifically listening for a broadcaster. Like in this case, I want to know how Tom Brady's doing or I want to know what he's saying. Honestly, because I'm so busy taking notes and because I hear football nonstop this time of the year, I tune it out really quickly. So I would never turn off a game. Now it's work for us, right? So we have to watch, but I would never turn off a game simply because I didn't like the announcers.
Right. Yeah. Average person could be the one that the casual fan that's coming and just and trying to take in the ambiance of the broadcast might say, oh, I really don't want to hear them, or I like them. And then right. if it's a bad game or if it's a good game, the combination can lead to turning it on or turning it off.
Yeah, maybe some combination of that adding to the 14%. Now, interestingly enough, this weekend, that same crew is in Seattle. The Seahawks are hosting the Bills. I'm going to bet that game doesn't get quite as much attention because still we're talking about a Super Bowl rematch, not once, but twice in the last 5 years. And so Bills and Seahawks, maybe not as high profile, though the Bills fans obviously have a massive following. Seahawks, I wouldn't say it's national, but I would say that they're loud and they put on a good show. I just don't think that one's going to get nearly as high viewership numbers as Chiefs and Niners.
Oh, they have them doing that game?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Let's see, what else do we have this weekend? Besides Dallas and San Francisco, we also have in the NFC South, the top two teams. I know they're really exciting right now. The Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those two teams are 4-3. We've got Indy and Houston, top two teams in the AFC South as well. Kansas City and Vegas. Could you imagine if Vegas beats the Chiefs again? Remember last year on Christmas, how they beat them, and that was really the catalyst for what the Chiefs did the rest of the way, including the Super Bowl? Meanwhile, the Raiders were crowing about how they figured out the ways to defend Patrick Mahomes effectively, and then the Chiefs never lost after that. Funny stuff. Okay.
Was that after the coaching change happened?
Yeah, it was Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
It was Christmas Day. And the Chiefs will admit that was a turning point for them, too. They got embarrassed in that game. They got manhandled in that game, but they never lost again. So be careful when you poke the bear. The Jets will take on the Patriots this weekend. Both of these teams are in the news for different reasons, obviously. Just as a side note, before we talk about that game, Robert Saleh has a new gig. And maybe you've heard this, but he's reunited with a former coach that he worked with in San Francisco, Matt LaFleur, who's bringing his friend on board.
We've been close for a really long time. We were roommates together back at Central Michigan. So, you know, we thought it was a good idea just to bring him here. And he's helping us on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's always a good deal to have that perspective, that defensive perspective on that side of the ball. So just taking a look at some of the things we're doing.
I love this because Matt LaFleur has long given Robert Saleh the credit for helping him break into the NFL, and he mentions their relationship goes back to college. And so I think this is neat that he throws a lifeline to his friend and is looking for his insight as a defensive guy who's coached on defense, What did he play when he was in the NFL?
Go to defense.
Okay. Because it's Dan Campbell, right, who was a tight end when he was in the NFL,
yes.
Though now he's more of a defensive guy. Is that who I'm thinking of? Anyway, so I think this is cool. It's a bit of a lifeline. I love the fact that Robert Saleh can add another set of eyes to a Packers team that is very much engaged in a battle. We just talked about the NFC North with Ron Rivera. He spent a bunch of his career both playing and coaching in the NFC North. And Rivera is talking about when they start facing each other, that's when the poo hits the fan. I'm paraphrasing here. But yeah, to have Robert Saleh there as someone who can just lend another brain to the problems that they've got coming up. But what exactly is his role with the team? Well, LaFleur says, we're still figuring that part out.
It's pretty fluid. I think it's important for him to spend time, obviously, with his family. So he's staying through Thursday and going back on Friday.
How about that? They're even giving him flexibility is the word I'm looking for. Flexibility so that he can also be with his family. I think the idea, even though Matt doesn't say it, is that at some point he's going to get a head coaching job again or be coaching full time again. So let's let him spend time with his family now.
Correction by me. The more you know. tight end. He played tight end.
Okay, that is who I'm thinking of. Saleh played tight end, but he coaches defense. Oh, Campbell did too. Oh my gosh, always go with your first answer. Every now and then, now sometimes I get it wrong when I'm pulling things out of the nether reaches of my spaghetti plate brain, but sometimes I get it right. So they both played tight end, and then they both ended up as defensive coaches.
That's cool, it makes no sense with Saleh, because you wouldn't think he had anything to do with offense the way he was coaching the Jets.
And now, true, good point. Although you wouldn't have thought of that about Ben McAdont either. And he was on the offensive side of the ball, too. That's what I call him. Sorry.
Ben McAdoofus.
Ben McAdont. So now an offensive consultant is Robert Saleh, but looking at it from a defensive problem solver. I think that's actually pretty genius for the Packers. As for his former team, the Jets, we just talked about Devontae Adams addressing the locker room and what that, you know, looked like and why he did that. Well, the Patriots have got their own kind of locker room conversation going on right now based on what Gerard Mayo said last week after their loss. Remember, they were up early, but they ended up getting pounded by the Jaguars in London.
Disappointing game. Disappointing game. We came out, we started fast. What I would say is, look, we're a soft football team across the board. We talk about what makes a tough football team. That's being able to run the ball, that's being able to stop the run, and that's being able to cover kicks, and we did none of those today. They controlled the ball for most of the day. You know, their run game averaged over 4.5 yards a carry. Our run game, not sure what the average was, but it wasn't good.
In the wake of those comments from Gerard Mayo in London, now remember, Gerard played and coached under Bill Belichick. Belichick is now part of Let's Go on Sirius XM, the show vacated by Tom Brady, though if you noticed, he's there all the time. They were talking about Gerard calling the Patriots soft, and Belichick actually wasn't a big fan.
When you criticize your team publicly like that, it doesn't always go over well. Not every coach has their own style, and you know, maybe sometimes that can be effective and all, but ultimately, I always felt like when a team played bad, that was my responsibility too. I mean, we might have had bad playing, but we had bad coaching that led to bad playing. So I think it's always best to kind of, you know, take a look at yourself and do what you can do to help the team. And then, you know, if you have constructive criticism as a coach, that's your job. But I don't know. You know, last year the Patriots led the league in rushing defense yards per carry, number one in the league. This year they're 26th or whatever it is. It's the same players. I don't think that those players on defense are soft, but they haven't stopped the run very well this year.
Okay, so then the perspective on the perspective. Going back to the Patriots, after hearing Belichick's perspective on Sirius XM NFL radio in reaction to what Mayo said about calling his players soft. So yeah, we're getting back to the New England perspective. And Jonathan Jones, he did an interview with our New England affiliate, our Boston affiliate, WEEI, in which he was reacting to what his head coach had to say.
That's his opinion. And I always take the opinions of what our coaches say to heart, you know, and that was the opposite, you know, of a soft team is a tough team. And we pride ourselves around here on being able to stop the run, run the ball, and cover kicks. And if you look at our last game, we didn't do any of those. So I don't think we have any space, you know, to call ourselves a tough team, you know, based off our last performance. So we weren't able to stop the run. We weren't able to run the ball, and we weren't able to cover kicks.
Okay, so that's cornerback Jonathan Jones inside that same locker room. We don't have any room to stand on. We don't have a leg to stand on in response to our coach calling us soft because we didn't play tough. And in this particular game, we did play soft. Again, that's on WEEI. And now back to Coach Mayo responding to what Bill Belichick said, which went viral, of course.
My main focus is the guys inside of this building, not only the players, but also the coaches and the rest of the staff. And look, as soon as we, you know, turn this thing around, then we'll be okay. It comes down to wins and losses. Like, that's what it comes down to. And that's what you're ultimately judged by.
So he's not going to call out Belichick or dispute or disagree with Belichick publicly. I like how he kind of shut it down there. But do you know one way in which he reminds me of Belichick? It's just no nonsense. You got to win. That's how you earn your keep. That's how you prove yourself. You win. It comes down to wins and losses. And how often did we hear that or some semblance of that from Bill Belichick? And that's pretty Belichickish. Belichickism? Belichicky?
Belichickian.
Belichickian? Why do I amuse myself so much?
But I would be amused by that.
Thank you, Pete. At least I have some validation from the peanut gallery. At A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too. Could it be the Jets or the Patriots who end up making some type of a run? I think the Pats are in full rebuild mode. That's the opposite of the Jets. But is there a team out there that has a losing record or is underwhelmed in terms of its expectations that could use the second half of the season to get hot or hot? H-A-W-T, hot. All right, some QB news coming up. Tua is back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mahomes gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Three steps, throwing loud. Left corner of the end zone. Touchdown.
Play action, Love. Looking, winds up. There rainbows. Is. Watson there. Touchdown.
Yes.
And a Lambo leap.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Guess who's back? We knew it was coming. Tua Tagovailoa returning to Miami Dolphins practice. And Tyreek Hill is psyched. In fact, he said he nearly cried seeing Tua back on the field because of how important it is and how important he is for the offense.
Tua is that guy. He's that deal, man. You know, he's a big part of this team, bro. I'm going to keep saying that. Every guy in this locker room knows that. Now, obviously, when we go play a game, like, it's next man up. That's the mentality all day. That's the mentality all day. But when Tua is a part of this offense, can nobody stop us, bro? We should score every drive. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at it, bro. We got too much talent.
They were averaging 12 points per game in the games without Tua Tagovailoa. That's down from nearly 30 points a game last season when Tua was the league's leading passer. And Miami has won just one time without Tua. So, of course, they want him to get back on the field healthy, yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But they need him back out there if this offense and this team is going to go. And Tyreek's raving about how he looks.
Everything he do, he's sharp, bro. Especially in football, bro. He's going to be accurate. Ball's going to be catchable real good, soft in your hands, like on time, all of that. It's going to be sharp, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's expected, bro.
Without Tua, the Dolphins' offense is dead last in scoring. Bottom two in offensive expected points, which is kind of a quirky next-gen stat, but also 29th in yards per game. But Tyreek's got a message to fantasy owners.
We're back, baby. Strike up the band. We're back, baby. Start me this week, baby. Let's go.
Jalen Waddle said after practice that Tua completed almost every pass he threw to Tyreek Hill and that they are on the same page and you should expect some explosive plays as Tua returns. Now, of course, there's a lot of eyes on him because he's had multiple concussions in the past few years. Last season, he barely got hit. That was a major piece of their offensive strategy. Get rid of the ball quickly, protect Tua so he doesn't get hit. But when he took off and ran a couple of weeks ago, week number two against the Bills, he didn't protect himself. He chose not to slide. He went in kind of head first and got hit by DeMar Hamlin. And that earned him another stint on IR and a lot of concerns, even calls for his retirement. So hoping that he'll be safe. He says he needs to be smart, and that's the key to his getting back on the field and staying healthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Deshaun Watson is out for the season with a ruptured Achilles, which means Jameis Winston is moving into the starting lineup for the Browns.
I'm extremely grateful to have yet another opportunity to do what the Lord has called me to do in the NFL, and that's be a starting NFL quarterback. I'm beyond grateful for this, and I am prepared, and I will do my very best.
He also says that he's learned a lot and he's matured a ton in his 10 years as an NFL quarterback. Well, he's going to have to adjust to a different guy calling plays. Kevin Stefanski is relinquishing those duties.
I'm going to have Ken call the plays this week. Moving forward, that's the plan. I've told you guys before, we have a very, very collaborative process in how we work, both during the week and on game day. So I will continue to assist Ken in the offense as we game plan, as we get into the game. But I have total confidence in Coach Dorsett and the offensive staff.
Why now to make that decision?
Yeah, I'm just always looking at what we can do to just be a little bit better. And truth is, we have to be better on offense. And, Coach Dorsett is somebody that I rely on very heavily. And I just feel like this is the right thing for the team.
First time since Stefanski was hired as the head coach in Cleveland that he won't be calling the plays for the Browns. That goes back to 2020. And this is after they find out that Dorian Thompson-Robinson suffered an injured finger. He's actually supposed to be practicing this week, so it's not like he's completely unavailable, but instead it's Jameis Winston and Ken Dorsey in his ear calling the plays. Can the Browns pull themselves out of a 1-6 hole? And they're severely injured. But Nick Chubb did just return, so we'll see if this provides the spark they need. The Raiders and Antonio Pierce also looking for a spark. They lost Aiden O'Connell to a broken thumb. Gardner Minshew had 3 interceptions last week. Doesn't sound like they want him on the field very long. And so they bring in Desmond Ridder, who actually got emotional talking about this next opportunity in the NFL.
I was just cut 3 months ago. That should be enough, opportunity, enough motivation to keep me going anytime. I back home, I got the call and everything. And, my daughter's like, Daddy, where are you going? I'm like, got to go to Vegas. But I know I do everything for them. I do everything for my family. So this is just another opportunity to go out and prove to them, prove to myself, prove to everyone that I can be out here and go do this.
Yeah, Desmond, to that point, does it leave like an extra chip on your shoulder? I know that's a cliche, but like something to prove to the rest of the league.
Yeah, for sure. Man, it's not even to the rest of the league, it's to myself. I know what I can do. I know what I can be. Now I just got to go do it.
I mean, he's a former third-round draft pick, and he was on the Arizona Cardinals practice squad, has, 19, 20 career starts with the Falcons. With Aiden O'Connell on IR, they call up Desmond Ridder, and you can hear the emotion in his voice. And yes, part of it's leaving his family and his daughter who want to know where he was going, but part of it has to be, I just got cut 3 months ago. I'm off a roster, on a practice squad, looking for another opportunity, and here it is. And there's a lot of emotion in that, and I hope that he succeeds for his sake and for the Raiders' sake. But they are in the same division as the best team in football, the 2-time defending Super Bowl champions. And watch out, Patrick Mahomes is about to get a new weapon in DeAndre Hopkins.
The biggest thing for me is whenever a new guy gets into the building, it's just getting on that same page as quickly as possible. Even with guys like Kareem in the running back position, just being able to talk with him throughout the protection calls, talk with him kind of throughout the plays, making sure he knows what his job is to do, and then letting him go out and execute it. And I've dealt with that throughout my entire career, bringing new guys in. That's part of the NFL. And I think the coaches do a great job of making sure guys are prepared and so they can go out there and have success.
It may be part of the NFL, but it seemed like a rapidly spinning cycle around him, a revolving door of different weapons. And yes, losing Rashee Rice, losing Isaiah Pacheco, Juju Smith-Schuster not playing this week. Hollywood Brown is out. They bring in DeAndre Hopkins. We'll see whether or not he's available this weekend. They're trying to use guys that, with Patrick Mahomes, it tends to work. But guys, they're recycling, right? Like Kareem Hunt themselves, also having an opportunity to work it out. And that's, I think it helps when you've got guys who are already in the system. And so that's a part that always blows me away, is that the Chiefs can plug and play. But yes, it does help if you've been there before. And we've seen Kareem Hunt pick up right where he left off. Also seeing guys like some of their tight ends, not just Travis Kelce, but Noah Gray get in there as well and pick up. Who is the Mecole Hardman, in his return to the lineup, had a huge game this past week. They've got the rookie in Carson Steele. So they're trying a lot of different things. Xavier Worthy, too, as a rookie. Somehow it works with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, turning our attention quickly to the NFC, waiting to find out whether or not the rookie Jaden Daniels will be available for the Commanders this weekend.
He won't practice today. He'll continue all the meetings and our individual stuff to go through that, and but he'll get the treatment today, and then he'll continue to progress through today and tomorrow, and I'll update you guys after Friday's practice, and we'll kind of go from there.
You know, a lot of people really want to see him on the field this weekend because it's a matchup between the Commanders and the Bears. Both those teams have winning records, which is amazing because they're starting these top two rookie QBs. The Bears are at 4-2, Commanders at 5-2. But according to Dan Quinn, Jaden not practicing yet, so it's kind of on a wait-and-see basis. We do know the Panthers, who actually played the Commanders last week, but mostly with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. The Commanders may have Mariota again. For the Panthers, they definitely will not have Andy Dalton. He's actually out for week number 8.
Unfortunately, in the accident, he did sprain his thumb. So Bryce will be playing this week for us, and we'll be evaluating Andy day to day going into this weekend to see if we can get him up as the 2 on game day. So let the team know really just right now coming off the field. They all kind of saw, but I wanted them to have the official, just report the official news about what our plan is going for this weekend.
Andy Dalton and his family were in a car accident. Thankfully, they're all okay. They're going to recover fully, but Andy has a bit of a thumb injury. So he could be the number 2, but Bryce Young, after getting benched earlier in the season, is back as the starter. Remember, he's in year number 2. What's on the line here, Bryce Young?
For me, it's just day by day. Again, I'm not really a huge big picture, send a message, big thing. Again, I want to do everything I can to be the best I can today during meetings and practice, and then obviously do everything I can to help the team on Sunday. Whatever comes from that, and how things are perceived in the building, throughout the World League, that's always stuff, no matter what it is, stuff I can't control. So again, I just want to do all I can to help the team, and that's really where my focus is.
So Bryce Young back in the starting lineup, should have the help of Andy Dalton. Actually, Dalton was at practice, or he was there at the facilities on Wednesday, and he talked about the accident. He said it was scary and that it was the first time his kids had gone through something like that. So they were pretty shaken up. Thankful, though, everybody is healthy and will recover fully. And he actually said it's a great lesson for us as parents, for them as kids, to make sure you have your seatbelt on. That was what he had to say to reporters on Wednesday. But welcome back, Bryce Young. A healthy dose of QB news. Man, it gets dicey this time of the year with the injuries and teams getting impatient, needing to try to stack wins and figure out the best way to do it. And so, yeah, we've seen a lot of quarterback changes already because of injuries or ineptitude. And on that note, we fling ourselves headlong into week number 8. Coming up, Pete's got a new game he wants me to play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network.
Sports Flash.
Well, and the Chiefs are hoping DeAndre Hopkins can help fill the void at receiver due to a bevy of injuries. Kansas City getting the 12-year vet for a conditional fifth-round pick from the Titans. Packers getting ready for the Jaguars Sunday. They got a new face at the facility. Former Jets head coach Robert Saleh helping out his friend in Matt LaFleur.
We've been close for a really long time. We were roommates together back at Central Michigan. So, you know, we thought it was a good idea just to bring him here, and he's helping us on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's always a good deal to have that perspective, that defensive perspective on that side of the ball. So just taking a look at some of the things we're doing.
How's for the Browns going? Jameis Winston at quarterback with Ken Dorsey calling the plays this week. First time since Kevin Stefanski took over in Cleveland in 2020 that he won't be the signal caller. Panthers going with Bryce Young. This after Andy Dalton suffered a sprained thumb in a car accident.
For me, my job is always, no matter what, it'd be the same level of preparation. You're obviously, that's just part of the business. You always have to prepare like you're going to play no matter where it is. So it didn't change my approach or anything.
Washington didn't have Jaden Daniels at practice. His rib injury, too early to know if he'll be available for Sunday. Meanwhile, Tyreek Hill seems more than excited to have Tua Tagovailoa back at Dolphins practice.
We're back, baby. Strike up the band. We're back, baby. Start me this week, baby. Let's go.
NBA, the Bucks dismissed the Sixers 124-109. Damian Lillard poured in 30, while Giannis Antetokounmpo had 25 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists. No Joel Embiid in this one, and the NBA is said to be investigating the Sixers concerning the participation of Embiid, who's not expected to play this week. Pelicans, they lit up the Bulls 123-111, also reportedly lost DeJounte Murray to a broken left hand. Pacers took out the Pistons 115-109. Suns outlast the Clippers in overtime 116-113. Hawks outscored the Nets 120-116. Warriors dominate the Blazers 139-104. Cavs pound the Raptors 136-106. Grizzlies have been the Jazz 126-124. Magic overwhelmed the Heat 116-97. And the Hornets bounced the Rockets 110-105. And from hockey, just one game as the Capitals double up the Flyers 6-3. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Hey, hey! Happy Thursday! It's going to be a thrilling Thursday, don't you think? I think. We're that step closer to the weekend. Big old Thursday step. If you're waking up on your Thursday morning, shake it out. Shake out the cobwebs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's celebrate that it's nearly Friday. Can't say it yet, though. I am officially not allowed to say happy almost Friday until later on Thursday. It's a little bit too easy. Let's not jump the gun. No false starts around here, okay? 855-212-4227. If you missed our conversation with Ron Rivera, really cool. I did ask him whether or not he wants to get back on the sidelines, and his answer may surprise you. He seems like he's in good spirits. He says it's been an opportunity for him to reset, to kind of cleanse. And yeah, he's got plans for the future. Not quite the same plans, though. That's all I'm going to say. We'll bring back part of that conversation next hour, but the full interview with Riverboat Ron is going to be promptly posted to our podcast once we're off the air. At A-Law Radio and our Facebook page, you can always find the link to our podcast there. Now, producer Pete has come up with a new game. I'm a little bit nervous about it. I'm not great about being put on the spot. But, Pete, I trust you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I like the music already. It's a good start.
I appreciate that. It's called a knockout. You have to pick a side.
Oh.
It's 5 rounds.
Okay.
You have to pick a side.
All right.
I think we have very fair questions.
We'll be on the right side of history here.
I think we have very fair questions. I think you'll do a good job.
I feel like we need Rocky music for knockout.
Yeah, but everyone has Rocky music. We're going to do something different.
All right, we're going to do something different.
That's right.
That's smart.
All right, let's go. Round one. The 2024 Ravens.
Are you condoning violence?
No.
Okay.
No. Controlled in-ring violence.
Gotcha.
The 2024 Ravens.
Is this scripted like the WWE?
No. I just have bullet points.
Fine, you can talk now. Go ahead.
2024 Ravens or the 2000 Ravens.
Oh, that defense was so good. Huh. I like the Derrick Henry addition, though. I love the consistency on the... They've got some really good defenders. Marlon Humphrey got hurt. Roquan Smith. You know what? 2000 was proven. They were Super Bowl champions, so I'll take 2000 only because we know what they were. That defense was world class, one of the best ever. We don't yet know what these Ravens will be. So for that reason, because we already know the end of the story, I'll take the 2000 Ravens.
All right.
Oh. Very punch good. Me in the face.
No, you knocked out the 2024 Ravens.
I knocked him out. Oh, that's gotcha. Right. With one fell swoop.
That's right.
Boom.
Round two. Who's hired first as a head coach? Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel?
Oh. Now, see, the thing is, Mike Vrabel is younger and unintimidating, or as intimidating as Bill Belichick. But Bill Belichick, he's a winner. And some owner out there is going to want to go for broke. But see, Belichick's... Now, Vrabel's off the map somewhere. I don't know where he is. Belichick is enjoying his cushy new media life. I'll go Belichick. There are owners that'll get desperate. And we know that roughly 25% of the NFL coaching jobs turn over every year. I'm going Belichick because an owner out there is going to want to bring in a proven winner and say, go to work.
Gave a little 1-2 on that one.
All right.
Round three. Who has the better...
uppercut and a... Yeah.
That's right. Who has the better World Series? Ohtani or Judge?
Ooh, what a good question. I'll say Ohtani because he's 18 of 22 with runners in scoring position. The last we've seen of him, he was so productive when guys were on base or ducks were on the pond, if you will. Judge got hot late in the ALCS, but a little more time off. Yeah, I'll go with Ohtani simply because he is proven when there is an RBI that's waiting to happen, he is seemingly automatic. Did I just punch out Aaron Judge? I can't reach Aaron Judge. Forget punching him out.
You had some assistance.
He is a foot taller than me almost.
Round four, I like this question. This is one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
All right. Yankees or Dodgers in four, or Yankees or Dodgers in seven?
Not the four. It's going to be seven. Because both these franchises have so many holes in their pitching staff. I do think the Yankees have a better starting rotation. The Dodgers have no starting rotation. They have Jack Flaherty and Yamamoto, who goes five innings. The rest of the way, they just piece it together like it's some kind of a duct tape and string, and it's a science project. Though Dave Roberts has engineered it well, but I'm saying that the pitching challenges for both teams will make this a longer series. I'm so good at that. Wow.
Yeah, your combos in there.
Does that mean I've win by TKO?
Yes.
My combos.
last one.
Uh-huh.
More success in 24-25, Celtics or Nuggets?
Now see, the Celtics aren't likely to have Kristaps Porzingis until Christmas time, maybe, and it could be even later than that.
But they also won without him.
Well, they had him for a good chunk of the playoffs, but you're right. They were able to win a bunch of games without him, but they're not as good without him because the system's built for him. The Nuggets. I do love Nikola Jokic. I'm a huge fan of Murray. Crap. You know what? The Western Conference, I think, is tougher. I'll say Celtics with the better regular season record.
And that's the knockout.
Wow. Well, I am relentless. I don't let up once this happens. Uppercut, jab, cross.
Right.
Yeah. I actually did a long, long time ago take a... kickboxing class, actually, which was a lot of fun. You'd like full body workout. My whole body would be sore when I got done with it. I didn't keep up with it, but I've heard it's really good. Now I think I might break something, so it's probably not going to happen moving forward. But yeah, it was kind of fun to learn some of the kickboxing techniques.
Yeah, but you're not going to break something in the ring, except...
That's true, I'm not going in a ring.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, unless you're doing it like an antique store,
you might
break something. No,
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I meant me breaking things on me.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, Pete, that went right over your head. I meant I might break something. And to this point in my life, as old as I am, I've never broken a bone. And I do not want to start now. I've had sprains. Yep, I've had some muscle sprains to have to deal with. But I've never broken a bone. The only surgery I've ever had in my life is a surgery for a medical thing is wisdom teeth. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's actually an accomplishment. I have not broken a bone, knock on wood either.
Wow. Way to go.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
There we go.
Okay. So which one of us does it first? There's another knockout question. Producer Pete or Amy Lawrence? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.